So I blew my nose. I just like went, you know, like, and a piece of pasta flew out of my nostril.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Pablo Torre. That's Mina Kimes. That's Dominique Foxworth. And let's see if we can get that going again.
Like a full noodle.
Does Anthony Davis's impending return make the Lakers the favorites again?
So over the last month of the NBA season, the three best teams in the league have all been in the Western Conference. Number one, the Utah Jazz. Number two, the Phoenix Suns. Number three, the Los Angeles Clippers. Yes, Mina, those are teams that play defense. It's incredible what defense does in terms of being good. So Anthony Davis is coming back, and that is the seismic force that could unsettle all of that goodwill in those three cities. And I will point out that they were terrible, the Lakers were, without Anthony Davis. We kind of suspected this, but they were 13 and 14 over those last 27 games without him. Now Frank Vogel is saying, well, maybe we'll work him in 15 minutes at a time to get him sort of ready for NBA full court action once again. But it all comes down to the same question to me. How serious do you take the three teams that I mentioned at the very beginning of the show? If you take them super seriously, then Anthony Davis actually has a real hard road ahead of him. But if you still believe that Anthony Davis and LeBron James are the two best players in the Western Conference, as I do, it's easy again to say, eh, whatever to those three teams.
I don't see how you cannot take them super seriously if you've been watching what's going on. I understand that the playoffs are a different animal, blah, blah, blah. I get it, and I believe that it is true. But Anthony Davis has been sitting out since February with some issues with his Achilles and calf. Like, that's terrifying. So, yes, if he comes back, and also LeBron comes back, and they get in a groove and get comfortable, yes, I still pick them over everyone else, but those are major ifs. Like, we can't guarantee that Anthony Davis is going to be the same player or that him and LeBron are going to work well together. And we also have to take into account the fact that they might end up in one of these play-in games, which if you drop down to seven, considering the fact they have to play against the Mavs and Trailblazers coming up, and they're going to be trying to get Anthony Davis working back in, which may mean that they are not putting their best effort out there, there's a good chance that they could end up in those play-in games. And what could hurt a team like this more than more basketball? Anthony Davis and LeBron James are not guys that need more basketball. I understand that at most it might be two more games, but that's a lot for those guys in their body right now.
Yeah. This really taps into, I think, like the central question of the NBA right now, which is how seriously or how scared should we be of teams when we don't know if their stars are playing and how healthy they are? Because if all of their stars are playing, both the Lakers and the Nets, yes, Pablo, the Nets seem fated to meet, as you guys have said. If not, we do have to take teams like the Suns and, you know, the Jazz seriously. And I would love to be a basketball hipster and endear myself to the state of Utah, which has many beautiful national parks, by saying we should take the Jazz seriously regardless, because the three-point shooting is fantastic and they're so balanced and they've been so good. But I'm with you guys. If LeBron and AD are both out there, I'm not going to pick against them. I mean, when they were together, they were plus 17 points per 100 possessions. When Anthony Davis was at the five and LeBron was at the floor four, they were plus 64. That is not a typo. Plus 64. No, I am not going to pick against those dudes, even though I understand all of the very good basketball reasons to believe in the other teams.
Hold on. Hold on, Pablo. There's so much in there to take offense with, but I'm going to take offense with you trying to say that it's a compliment that Utah has great national parks. If once you get to lauding the national parks of a state, that clearly means that you don't think they got much going for them. This disrespect is an insult.
I've spoken like someone who has never seen the arches. They are majestic.
That is tantamount to saying, you got a great personality. What do you think about that, Pablo? Great personality. Like, that's the same thing. You skip right to personality because all the other normal compliments are out of the way.
If you are calling me, like, I don't know, the Yellowstone of sports analysts, I will take that compliment. Thank you very much.
What do you make of the new details about the Mets' toxic culture?
So there are a lot of new details in The Athletic that are worth reviewing, but it is first worth rewinding to January, because that is when Mina Kimes, our very own friend right there, and Jeff Passan reported about the explicit photographs, the many, many photographs, the wildly inappropriate behavior that former Mets GM Jared Porter, now former because he was fired after said investigation, had sent to a female baseball reporter. That was January. And then in February, we got news that Mickey Callaway, via The Athletic, the former manager of the Mets, was even better known for sending wildly explicit photographs to women. So much so, in fact, that he got a nickname, Bleep Pick Mick, and you can fill in the blank on what the bleep is. So that's the organization that took us from January to February. March, relatively quiet, but now here we are in April, and there are more names that are worth discussing. Joe DeVito, the former executive producer of content and marketing, he's another person who has been accused now by several female employees of wildly inappropriate workplace behavior, hitting on them and so forth. His boss, David Newman, who is still with the team, another character being accused of behavior along those same lines. Another former hitting performance coordinator is now also being accused of such things, making women feel unsafe at the workplace. And president of the Mets, Sandy Alderson, has been quoted in this piece saying that maybe The Athletic and all the reporters doing this work, they're making too much of this stuff because not everything has to be a capital offense. And while all of that is happening, the Mets owner, Steve Cohen, the billionaire, he has hired a law firm that he knows well to investigate this. And he knows it well because in 2018, he had to hire the same law firm for an internal investigation into his hedge fund after a female employee accused Cohen of gender bias and pay discrimination. So there is a lot there and it keeps on coming.
Man, what the hell? I mean, I can't even believe you listed all of that correctly because it's so copious. It's overwhelming. What do I think about the Mets? It sounds like a really terrible place to work for women. It also sounds like the people in power didn't care and frankly still don't care, because after the Athletic reporters, you know, went through this long, well-researched list of misdeeds in this latest piece, you've got Sandy Alderson, as Pablo said, the president of the Mets, comparing the accountability for those misdeeds to capital punishment. And then saying to the reporter at the end, shouldn't there be a statute of limitations for this stuff? Now, some people might hear that and think, well, it's just a poor choice of words, it's a bad analogy. But to me, that is a mask off moment, because for people like him, the worst thing, the thing that they can relate to the most, is not being made to feel like you don't belong in a workplace because they've always belonged, but rather being held accountable for that behavior.
In a piece that had a lot of damning quotes and kind of eye-popping, shocking quotes, that one at the end was the one that grabbed my attention the most. The one at the end that said, isn't there a statute of limitation? Like the insensitivity and the kind of blatant disregard for the environment kind of speaks to Sandy Alderson's position, but it speaks to the world as he has known it and the world that he, as he expects it to continue. It's a suggestion that, like, move on, this is over, who cares, we've done this. And equating capital punishment to people losing their jobs or having strong articles written about them, like, it speaks to a lot of things that I think we struggle with now, with people's with people being uncomfortable with certain people having a voice or certain groups of people having a voice and an outlet and a say in things that they normally didn't before. And now all of a sudden there's accountability, or something close to true accountability, because it's still not full accountability. It's something close to true accountability to people who never had to be accountable before. And that gets really uncomfortable for them. And it's nothing we can really do about it. Sadly, I'm less shocked by the fact that these allegations have come out than I am by the fact that he is not smart enough to know, just don't say that. Like, just don't say it.
Well, what's also incredibly disturbing about all of this is that women, two women who work for the Mets, told Sandy Alderson, David Newman, one of the men I just listed, the head of content and marketing, they told him not to hire that guy. Don't bring him back, because he had done things that made them feel, as Mina was alluding to, personally unsafe, not welcome at the workplace. And he did it anyway. And so all of these quotes he's giving on the back end, what's even worse is that they could have been avoided if he had listened to the women who worked for the Mets.
Up next on HQ.
Sit here. Sit. Sit.
Do you question if Bill Belichick has a sense of humor?
So we have Bill Belichick at a press conference. Let's find out.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Good, Dan. How about you?
No complaints. No complaints.
That's good. We don't want to hear him anyway, so.
Boom.
Whoa, I mean, the smile at the end was the most disconcerting part of all of that. I didn't realize Bill Belichick had banter in him. What did he like microdose over the weekend? What is happening to him?
We know that Bill Belichick has a sense of humor. The man during the draft last year put his dog Nike in the seat and pretended like the dog was drafting. Bill Belichick clearly loves hijinks, right? I mean,
my
wait a minute. He loves hijinks.
Yeah, I think you're going too far. Yeah. I think my favorite part was when he cracked himself up with it in his mind before he delivered it. He was I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him when I say this.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Good, Dan. How about you?
No complaints. No complaints.
Right there.
That's good. We don't want to do that anyway, so.
He read the defense, Dominique. He read that defense and was loving it.
Is there a job that Bill Belichick would be worse at than like stand-up comedian? Like I'm not sure I can think of one.
It's a real close race between Bill Belichick and Mina Kimes between who is the worst at acknowledging that they have a joke before they say the joke.
Sit here. Sit. Sit.
You're cheating. You're standing there. All right, leave
How
the room.
How am I cheating? I'm not cheating.
You're holding a treat. Watching. You're standing there. Leave the room.
Mina, we can hear Bill, you moving your lips off camera.
Bill wasn't saying. Even in the room.
All right, fine. I'm leaving the room.
Oh, there's a sadness.
That was a blank.
Oh, he's standing like a good boy. You're so good. You're so good. You're so intelligent. You proved them wrong. Told you.
Do you question if this makes you more or less scared of bobcats?
So at a certain point, all of these security cameras that we have on our doors will capture, like, human crimes. But until then, we have this.
Good morning.
That's my favorite.
The beginning is the best part. Wait, listen. Listen.
You need to wash my car.
Okay. So the man's carrying some kind of breakfast. And then his wife comes out with a separate animal, and then the bobcat comes out. It's kind of confusing.
This is like ridiculous, Pablo.
I mean, saying good morning is an amazing part, but him holding up the bobcat like Rafiki in the Lion King and staring at it in the face and declaring it's a bobcat.
So good morning. I need to wash my car. My favorite part of the clip. My least favorite part of the clip is like, wow, what type of strategy is that? You don't pick up the bobcat and hold him up and walk around. Like this is a job for feet. This is why shoes were made. You need to kick. Don't pick up and hold in your face for 3 seconds. Like who does that in that moment?
I'll tell you who does that. A hero, because that movie is like truly a hero's journey. Yes, movie. It's a shame that it's too late for the Academy Awards, because that had everything. It had a character arc. It had secondary role players, the jogger coming out of nowhere. It had a villain. It had high stakes, emotion, weirdly crisp audio and video. I mean, I would rewatch that 1,000 times. I have rewatched it 1,000 times.
Are you making accusations? It seems like you're making accusations.
Wait a minute.
I will say, Dominique,
when I first saw this, of course I had to figure out, like, is this all a work? Is this real? I mean, it's incredible to the extent where you have to wonder, but you look closer, and if you play this slowly, you do see, I believe, the bobcat at the 4 second mark just like cross the street.
So you're saying that you don't think it'd be a trained bobcat? Like, who has microphones on their outdoor cameras? Is that a thing?
You can see the bobcat across the street at the beginning of the video?
Yeah, play it. Re-rack it. Right there, top left.
I see it.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
Well-trained bobcat right there.
Dominique's criticism, spoken like someone who would have let that bobcat get behind him in coverage and wouldn't have caught up and gotten hands on him.
Oh, no. That wasn't...
Let's call this what it is. You're jealous.
Up next on HQ.
Obviously not. Although I will say I admire your efforts to somehow make the Sixers' defeat of the Nets both impressive, but also imply that the Nets were too afraid to show up at the same time. One would think those two things can't be true at the same time, but you keep trying.
Go down. Get their best ball boy out of the games. One less thing to worry about.
Mina, do you in fact need to get those cards in soccer, as soccer experts like Dominique said?
No, I'm more intrigued by the Bobcat. I'm probably going to watch that 30 more times this weekend.
Can we play the Bobcat video again?
Remember when driving was fun? It was an act of freedom.
Tonight on ESPN, Clippers and 76ers.
Finally, a game where hopefully the Sixers opponent will actually show up this time, as opposed to just submit to being destroyed by one Joel Embiid, presumptive MVP in my book, as such.
Jokic hasn't missed games.
Going
to work. What are you doing?
Jokic can't play defense like Joel Embiid, the centerpiece of the best defense in the NBA, if that was in fact the question you were asking, which it was not, because you never ask about defense. But look at this.
Joel Embiid gets to play with Ben Simmons.
Great defender.
Yeah, what an amazing colleague to have. I hear they're getting along great. Mina Kimes, are you intrigued?
Obviously not. Although I will say I admire your efforts to somehow make the Sixers' defeat of the Nets both impressive, but also imply that the Nets were too afraid to show up at the same time. One would think those two things can't be true at the same time, but you keep trying.
Thank you very much. I'll take the compliment. Dominique, how do you feel about this?
I mean, I have to identify with you, Pablo. I am slightly intrigued because I did tune in to that Nets-Sixers game, which I don't tune into all the basketball games. There are way too many. But I was like, I'm going to watch this one. And then I turned it on, and none of Mina's Nets wanted to participate.
That's right.
So it was tough. So I'm intrigued by this opportunity of seeing some real title contenders match up and play a full game. I'm not judging them for it. Mina, don't get defensive. It's just a fact. I sat down, and they weren't there.
It was disappointing. We were all disappointed, Mina.
I see a
Why
guy named
afraid?
Claxton
Why are you
closing
afraid?
The game out.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Nick Claxton. If Mina tweets about Nick bleeping Claxton again. Dear God.
Yeah. My followers, I think I have about 300,000 more than you, don't seem to mind.
Sunday at noon, Ajax and Vitesse.
Ajax, that is how people who know soccer pronounced Ajax. But Ajax is a soccer team. They have a ball boy. That ball boy did this.
Ajax.
So that would be the soccer ball bouncing all the way out of bounds, and you chase a soccer ball. You got to throw it back in. That's how that works.
Oh. So he rejected that ball. He didn't like that one. Oh!
Wait, what?
Yeah, we got to see
wait,
the other
yeah,
angle
yeah,
on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So there's Yum. The ball boy. Whoa. I want us to re-rack that and show the guy reacting to the ball getting hit.
It's
focus
very
on that moment because
it's super soccer.
He is contemplating a flop.
Here it comes.
Watch him. Watch him. Oh, wait.
He was looking for a call there. It was pretty clear that I think my windpipe has collapsed seemed to indicate a little bit more than was actually deserved. But Dominique, are you intrigued?
I'm not intrigued, but it's a well-honed instinct. Like, that's what you do when you play the world's beautiful game. You got to get those cards. And I don't know why he didn't follow through. Go down. Get their best ball boy out of the games. One less thing to worry about.
Mina, do you in fact need to get those cards in soccer, as soccer experts like Dominique said?
No, I'm more intrigued by the Bobcat. I'm probably going to watch that 30 more times this weekend.
Can we play the Bobcat video again?
No, I want more soccer Roma.
I mean,
we didn't have the brownies.
He was on to a day that was full of promise. He had his big iced coffee. He was going to give his baked goods to people.
Oh, yeah.
He was going to wash his car.
Oh.
Okay, so the Bobcat's coming out of the corner. The noises. I wish we could see him pick it up. Unfortunately, it's out of frame.
There you go, Mina. There you go.
The jogger wanted a piece of that. It is Friday afternoon. Somehow that was highly questionable. Mina Kimes can be found on all of the platforms ESPN
Twitter,
has to offer.
Twitter,
Dominique Foxworth.
Twitter is the only place you can find her.
Going to be with me, not on Twitter. Very far away from Mina Sips.
At Mina Kimes.